Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Nicholas Christian, and as always, thank you so much for joining us. Whether you've listened before, this is your first time here, we love you all the same. If this is your first time here, though, thank you for checking out the podcast. Brief little rundown. We're a podcast. We specialize in one-on-one interviews with any sort of creative people, whether it's music, art, film, small business, anyone doing anything that is just putting creativity into the world and positivity. We love meeting you, having you on, telling your story, even if I already know you. Fucking shoot me a message and be like, yo, asshole, how come I haven't been on the podcast yet? And we'll make it happen. So, yeah, the easiest way to reach me, go to @cult_sure_ on Instagram. That's where I keep up with the messages for the pod the best. The Facebook's a little iffy. Sometimes I check them. Too many social media, so little time. It's all bullshit. I want to do podcasts, make music and art, not be a content creator. But sadly, in this world, you got to do it all. But with the spiel out of the way, we're going to get into this week's episode. And this week, we are joined by Braden Burns. How's it going, man?
Hello, hello. That was a very professional little introduction. I'm hyped. I'm hyped.
Thank you. That was sick.
And it's funny
you say that. Thank you. I was stumbling a bit, but I always stumble when I talk. But
I mean, you carried it well. It seemed like it was practiced. I thought you were reading from a script at first, and I was like, feels a lot more professional than, yeah. Sick.
Well, thank you. I've done close to 100 of these now, so it changes a little every time, but I know the gist of it. But I always ad lib. I throw little things here and there,
give it a little personality.
Yeah, I appreciate that, bud. Thank you. So, I know what you do, but
yeah, but just, I'll explain to the listeners what I do.
Yeah,
I'm a vocalist. I make screaming, gurgling noises for the band Coma Courtesy. I've been doing this I've been in and out of band since I was about like 14. I've been in the scene for maybe about like 2 years. Just going to local shows, hosting shows, like just doing what I can to be a part of everything,
Yeah. It's funny how we met, because we'll just throw it out there now. Met you at the Oasis, RIP. Yep. Fucking love you, Dan, if you're listening. And it was funny, because finding out that you're my boss's daughter's brother-in-law. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I should just say my friend's brother-in-law, because she's not just a coworker, she's a friend. But
yeah.
And it's also good knowing that, you said that I don't have to watch my mouth. So, Emily, I'm going to be saying a lot of fucking swear words, because you know how I talk. But yeah, so you're like, this interview I'm looking forward to, because since you're younger, I remember being your age and getting into playing like original music and stuff. But
yeah,
it's total different times, because I don't remember so much of the DIY scene, like being around that. It was mainly fire halls, VFWs, all that stuff. We lucked out and had all that shit going.
Yeah, but I feel like it's kind of just died out. I mean, from what I know, like a lot of like those kind of cornerstone venues, like keystone venues, just kind of like crapped out. And it's a lot of just, Dan was doing an amazing thing with the Oasis. I like both of my, like every band I've been a part of that has played live shows, our first shows were there. Because it was always just like a very welcome, like open thing. Dan was awesome. He still is awesome. I'm speaking in the past tense, but yeah.
I was about to say, wait, hold on. He's still with us.
No. But it's just like, I feel like, I've done shows out of my basement. It's a lot of just trying to find those like really weird spots that, you can actually draw people out and have a good time,
Yeah, and I'm glad that like the younger like musicians and stuff are embracing that culture, because it was like we were doing the fire hall shows, which were cool. There was a promotion company running them and stuff. Always a great turnout. Like I live in Weartown Fire Hall. That was like the place to be Friday and Saturday. The turnouts were insane. Everyone that had a local band was always playing there, hanging out there. But it's like it sucks because you really don't get that anymore. And where we live, it's you have so many of the bars that are just letting cover bands in, or
yeah, or it's like that 21 plus, so it feels like there's like just a wall against like a large part of the scene, you know?
Yeah,
because you know, young people are the ones that want to throw down and have fun, you know, and just do stupid shit, you know. It's just and enjoy the music. And I like, and it was kind of an issue with like, you know, just me being like, I'm the youngest member of my band, you know, Coma Courtesy. Like I'm 17, so it's just you know, and they're all like in their they're 20. I think my bassist is 23, so it's kind of like that kind of range.
Yeah.
So it's always just been like, I mean, I'm always the one, like I've booked a lot of the shows just that I've played in general. Like I love doing that. But it just always felt so weird that my friends can't go, you know, and it's just like, you know, being surrounded by a lot of like older people, you know, I guess you kind of pick up some wisdom and you also kind of learn what to not do. Like I've met so many dicks, you know, like I've met so many dicks on the scene, but then you have people like, you know, Harry, dude, Harry's awesome.
I fucking like love Harry.
Him and Dan kind of like, they took me under their wing. I mean, and it was just like, you know, it's so cool. Like I feel like I wouldn't be anywhere where I am right now without them, and like them kind of guiding me through it, because there's been so much bullshit in the scene and just egos and just narcissism, and it's just awful. But at the same time, you have those people that just kind of bring you back up. And you know, I feel like, you know, things are finally, you know, like this band that I'm in now is definitely just we're hustling. Like we're putting the work in, we're putting the time in, you know. It's just, oh, it's fun. Honestly, it doesn't feel like a job. It feels like fun, you know?
That's the main thing with it. You always want to keep it fun, because it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's being someone that I've been playing music since, like, when did you start, like, what age did you start being in bands and playing out?
Playing out, I was 16, so about, like, a year, almost 2 years ago.
All right, so I started, like, same age as you, and it's, so many bands, like I'm still close with everyone. I'm very fortunate that like I was a part of the bands I was, but reason like the first one in high school, like, you know, when we were younger, died out, and well, I quit, they went on without me and, you know, made it work and all that. But the reason I left was just because it stopped being fun, and it was like,
yeah,
getting to be, like you said, too much like a job, and you definitely don't want that shit. Like,
yeah, because I mean, my logic is, you know, like our eventual goal is to tour. You know, that's always been my goal in life, is to just get in a van with a bunch of sweaty dudes and go across the country. And, you know, it's just like, but you have to find those people that you aren't going to want to like murder them in the back of a van, you know, because you're in close proximity with them for hours. You know, like the people I'm in a band with are my best friends. They're my best friends. And, you know, it's like, I don't know. Do you know the band Corvid Corpus? Have you heard of them?
It sounds familiar.
My guitarist is their lead guitarist.
All right.
So, but the other two members of our band, like they, this is their first band that they've actually written original music for and played shows for. So it's really cool because they're incredibly talented dudes. Like I, you know, I just make weird noises into a microphone. I couldn't do half the shit I do without them, you know?
Hey, and you got to give yourself more credit though, bud. No, well, I mean, you know, first time I heard you do vocals live, I'm like, holy fuck. I'm like, that dude, kid's at that age, like.
Well, that's the reaction I got for a while. And it's just like, I guess it's just like humility is like my biggest thing, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't know if it was just like a natural knack for it, but I picked it up like within 2 years, and I've just kind of consistently, I've just kind of drilled myself to learn it, you know?
Yeah.
And just like 6 hours a day, just screaming in my fucking car and my bedroom and just, you know, the shower. Like there's so many, like, you know, a couple of years ago, there'd be so many nights where I'd be like in the shower and like, I didn't realize how loud I was. And it was just, you know, my parents, but my parents, they were like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to learn how to scream. They're like, all right, go ahead, dude. It's just like, my parents are very supportive. I mean, like, you know, you know, kind of like the relation, like the whole family, like, you know, I feel like everybody's super supportive of each other. Like Emily's parents are also very supportive as well, you know? Yeah. And it's just like, you know, and Ryan, you know, I don't know if you, I mean, you, I think, you know, the Ryan is also a musician.
Oh yeah.
You know, yeah.
I've heard his stuff.
Oh, dude! Like, you know, Maybe I'm saying it a little bit because he's my brother, but just incredible, like, production, incredible. Like, he's one of the best guitarists I've ever met. And I feel like having that kind of, like, structure going into this, like, it was just, I feel like I always have people to fall back on, like, in my family. I feel like I always have the support. Like, Coma played Allentown, like, April 1st. And my parents drove out 2 hours to come see us, and they bought shirts to wear. And it's just a good feeling, you know, like that I have that. Cause I know not a lot of people do, you know, and it's just, and I'm very fortunate for where I am. I feel like I'm in a really good spot right now. And it's just like, you know, with music, I finally found something where, like, I'm happy about what we're making. Cause in other bands I've been in, like, I just was not happy with how the music was coming out. And I felt like I didn't really have a creative voice. And I feel like now it's just kind of everybody meshing together perfectly. And it's just like people, like, we don't want to step over each other. Like, we want to make, like, this perfect, just, I guess, like, organism of sounds, you know, it's just like a breathing thing, you know?
Oh yeah. As the one band like that I formed with, like, my older brother, and then, his best friend his whole life, Jack. And then my best friend my whole life, Matt, who edits the pod. It was like all the same but different musical styles, and the music we would just play off of each other. Like, randomly I'd go off of Matt, and then, like, Dustin would go off of Jack, then all of a sudden and I would go, and it's like
the synchronization.
Feeling that clicking with, like, writing with anyone, it's just like it's such a good feeling. So it's I'm happy you're experiencing that. Like, I'm living vicariously through in this interview. Yeah. I'm like, damn, I wish I was a fucking kid again.
Oh, dude, it's just like, cause I don't, like, it just, like, this is gonna be like a weird side tangent from that, but it just reminds, like, you know, something that, like, I feel like is very important to my identity. Like, you know, in a scene now, is like, I have Bartonella, which is like a form of Lyme disease.
Yeah.
So I have to walk around with a cane sometimes. And I feel like, I got diagnosed back in September, and I've been dealing with it for a while. And it's just like, I feel like now I finally found, like, my groove of being able to manage it. And, you know, and with like the support, you know, it also just comes with, like, you know, like Dan, as an example. Like, Dan's awesome, you know? Yeah. And it's just like, I hopped up for August, Kill, October, for the first time I'd ever done live vocals in, like, 4 months. You know, I hadn't done it in, like, 4 months. And then I went to the Oasis. Dan's like, you're hopping up, right? And I'm like, okay. And it was just, you know, it was just such an awesome feeling knowing that, like, that I'm not, like, dying, you know, because I'm not. It's chronic, but it's not terminal. And it's just, it was a nice feeling knowing, like, okay, I don't have to be miserable. You know, I can actually just, like, you know, get back up on my feet and, you know, try and just keep trying and trying and trying to, make the music I'm passionate about, which is what Coma is. You know, it's just like a passion project, and it's taken the form of something that, like, I've always really wanted to do. You know, it's just, it's awesome. It's an awesome feeling.
Now, you know, we talked about, you know, practicing vocals and all that, but what was the push that made you want to get into, like, performing and everything?
That is such, like, a question I've been thinking about, that, because so many people ask me that, like, oh, what's your, like, what got you into it?
Yeah, I keeping it, like, just a normal conversation, but I'm like, I always got to ask the typical bullshit questions.
Well, yeah, but those are the ones that people want to know, you know. Are the ones that the people want to hear. So I would say my push into, like, because I had kind of, like, been trying to learn it, because I'm like, all right, that'd be cool. And then I saw my first concert when I was 15, and it was Slipknot.
Oh.
And I saw Slipknot at PNC in Holmdel. And I was like, holy shit. Because they were with Killswitch Engage, Fever 333, and Code Orange. It was 2021.
Damn.
And I was just it was my first ever concert. I lost my voice. I had, like, a minor concussion because I was headbanging so hard. Because I like, hyper-fixated on Slipknot, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was just such a eye-opening experience where it's like, I need to do that. Like, no matter what I end up doing, because after that, I tried to learn guitar. It didn't really stick. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to stick with the vocals, you know, and then I heard Whitechapel. Because I already been like, all right, this is what I want to do. And I heard Whitechapel, and I heard The Saw is the Law. And I'm assuming are you familiar with that song?
So I was in a metal band in high school, and it was with Brendan from Knights of Malice, who I kind of pictured all that. They were some of the him, Dylan, Johnny, they were all some of the biggest Whitechapel fans. And I just went, man, I cannot get into this for the life of me.
Yeah, so, it's definitely like deathcore in general. I feel like it's just like an acquired taste kind of thing.
Yeah. So I do not know, sadly.
But okay, so it's like their big hit. It's like their it's what they close every set with. It's, you know, it's like their biggest song. I heard that and I was like, because at first I thought it was like three different people, because I just couldn't fathom the fact that you could hit these highs and these lows and, like, you know, do guttural. I was like, holy shit. And then I watched a live performance and I was like, holy fucking shit, that is awesome. And it's just like the way that the crowd was just like bouncing, like the energy back. I was just like, I need to do that. Like, I need to learn how to do that. So I just went to YouTube, killed my voice because I didn't know what I was doing. And then I like really kind of just like practiced on my own. And, you know, it just, I've been doing this for maybe about 4 years.
Yeah.
For 3-4 years. And I mean, like, I think it's just because of how much I've done it, like practice wise, that I've been able to get to the point where I'm at. And I mean, I feel like I'm doing pretty all right if I'm in a band, you know, going out of state, playing shows and opening for some, you know, pretty sizable acts, you know, it's pretty sick.
And also having bands, you know, like you said, like Dan at the Oasis at that show, just be like, you're hopping up on vocals, right? Like, not even, you know, asking you like, hey man, if you're coming to the show today, you want to do it? No, as you showed up, it's like, so you're getting up there with us, like, you know.
It's such a cool feeling. I mean, because I've also gotten on stage with STFU like twice now to do their closer, ARG, and it's just such a cool, Cleo's awesome. Like, she just makes like they like, I feel like because I ran merch when they played at Dingbats last, and like, she's just awesome. Like, I feel like we actually, like, I never really talked to her before that. Cause I've been to like a couple STFU gigs. I mean, they played my basement. Yeah. So, but, like, I never really talked to her. And then I finally got to talk to her. I'm like, she's cool as fuck. And, you know, it's just you know, getting on stage, it was just such a cool, like, chemistry of just screaming and just, you know, it was so sick, you know?
Yeah. She's one that, like, recently, like, we've been becoming closer and all that, because we're just started that project together. Go follow A Girl and a Clown. But
go follow it or else, man.
Cheap plug. But it's like, it's another one that it's, you know, like, I'm not just saying this because they're friends, but it's like, you have a good crowd of the older crew. Like, looking over you and everything in the band and stuff. Because it's, when I was, like, you know, your age doing the music, there were so many scumbags that, you know, like, doing the same thing, taking advantage as promoters, like, bands thinking their shit don't stink, and because they're older, you suck. But then it's like, we looked out,
there's so many gigs I've played. I mean, mostly with, like, my older band, and it's just like, you know, and now, I mean, I feel like I haven't really run into it as much, but it's just like, it's any ounce of power, the ego soar through the roof. It is so insane.
It's like, it's cool that knowing that there's, you know, that there's bands like that still that are looking out. And I look out here and there too, but because it's like, I lucked out back in my day. We had Failure and Vanity, End of an Era, The Killgene, the name drop a few, but it was like, you were the older dudes. They were like, ah, you want a beer? Nope, can't have it. You're underage. And they would fuck with us like that. But then when it came to the music, and like after a set, they would be like, yo, you guys killed it. Like, that was one of your best shows, you know, and sitting hyping us up. And we're like, damn, like, we're rock stars.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it just, it goes straight to your head. It's awesome. The adrenaline rush. It's just.
Now, to go back to, like, you talk about, like, destroying your vocals and everything. It's it's one of those things that many people don't realize, like, the techniques, like, doing what you're doing. Like, making gurgling noises and you sound like a demon's coming out. You know, it's a given. You're playing heavy-ass music and that's vocal style of it. But it's like people don't realize the technique that goes into it, so you don't destroy your voice. Because look, like Bon Jovi doesn't do death metal vocals, and that dude's voice is shot. Yeah, he's older and used it out.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. When you were learning and everything, what was, you know, I don't know the technical terms, but like, what was one of the challenges with getting your screams and stuff to be how they are now?
So I kind of gravitated towards the lows because I just like, you know, I have a deeper speaking voice. So I was like, that's probably going to be easier to get the hang of. And those are what I use for my lows are called false chords, which most mammals have false chords. It's how dogs bark. It's how, you know, like a lion roars. Like it's like dumb vocal chords. So the sound of like a low guttural is those stupid vocal cords slapping against each other, making that rumbling sound. So I kind of got the hang of that. And then the challenge was doing the highs, the screeches, and like the those are called fry screams. And those are actually in your vocal cords. It's your fry register. And it's just such a hard thing to get the hang of because it's so easy to mess up. And once I finally got it, it was when I was like 15, I was just in my basement jamming out and I did it. I was just like, holy shit, I've been trying to do this for months. And it's just, you know, it was such a cool experience. And, you know, there's so much you can do at the end of the day, like, it's very hard to teach people. Like I've had people teach, like I've had friends come up to me and ask me to teach them how to do it. And I just kind of do it, man. I don't know what I'm doing. I just know like the technicals, but I don't know how to like tap into that. But definitely the highs were definitely like a hard thing for me to get the hang of because I just didn't know what I was doing. And I kind of felt my way around it and kind of got to that where I am now. You know, it was just such a, you know, it was like trial and error kind of thing.
So there's actually false vocal cords, and to do the lows, you literally do the shit that animals do to make their growling and snort. Damn, metal's so fucking brutal. You know, like anyone I know that does the vocals, like, you know, like Brenda McGrath and everything, like, really broke it down and stuff like that. Cause I never really, you know, never really seemed to ask them. I'm just like, oh, wow. He could get pretty angry. He could make some crazy noises, but I never really knew the science behind it. And that's pretty insane knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
So damn.
Yeah. And it's definitely like a lot of practice building up kind of like a callus in your throat because it's not what your throat's meant to do. You know, like the noises are not what your throat's meant to do. So you have to build, it's like how I'm playing guitar. Like you have to build a callus on your fingers, you know, because your fingers, where you have to build up that, like, it's practice, you know, you just build up that like mental muscle memory and just, you know, it's a lot of trial and error. I mean, I don't know how Brendan goes about it, you know, I mean, because there's just so many different techniques. I mean, just like, I saw them open for Signs of Swarm and Face Yourself. And I would say that he probably uses false chords for his lows and like the same thing I do. Cause he can hit some crazy fucking tones. So
Watching that dude, like, you know, cause we were like 16, 17 and he was doing some good shit back then. And now it's like, I hear his stuff now and I just look at him and I smile and I'm like, you're so burly. It's like, like, ah, oh, man. And I will say the secret was he was always, always drinking a Wawa half gallon of, I think it was iced tea or green tea. It was one of those. So I think that shit's,
it definitely
just
helps your, yeah.
It's just, it helps all loosen caked up your up.
Vocal. Mm-hmm. It helps you like loosen up your vocal folds, and hot tea is always good for like studio stuff as well.
I was just messing around saying it, the syrup, all the syrup and shit that's in it caked onto his throat, and that's how he did it. But I didn't know that was actually
it was like helped. So a lot of the stuff I've learned was from this thing on YouTube, the Extreme Vocal Institute. Their coach is David Benitez, and I watched a lot of, like, you know, once I had learned the sounds, like I wanted to learn how to maintain them so I wasn't like, you know, destroying my voice and you know, giving myself like vocal notes or anything. So I was just watching his like tutorials on how to like maintain vocal health. And that's where I learned a lot of stuff. So it was just, you know, and I mean, he's done some crazy shit. Like he's been on stage with Motionless and White and, you know, like gone on tour with them and, he's just done some insane stuff. So
Damn.
You know.
So you started harnessing the craft, callousing your vocal cords. Fast forward a bit, joined first band, all that. What was it like playing the first show and finally like actually going out there and be like, shit, everything led to this point. This is the start. Like, what was going through your head? Was it like the severe nerves, or were you kind of calm?
Oh, I was freaking out. I mean, like, because I had played like a month before. I did a set with August Kill October. That was my first ever show I ever did, was with August Kill October.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that, it's a little different because that's music that they have written themselves, and, you know, they put a lot of work into it. And it's just like, this is the first time we're showing our, like, my old band was showing our original stuff. And, you know, we played three songs. Like, it wasn't like a long set at all. And we're opening for a touring band. I mean, they were smaller. They were like this beat, like this hardcore band from Georgia. And like, they were just stopping in the Oasis. And, you know, I finally get there and I'm like, oh, there's like 30 people packed in this goddamn shit. This is like, they're all staring at me. So, it was definitely just like, I mean, once the first song kind of ended, I was like, all right, we're so here, you know, we're here. We're in the moment. The adrenaline kicked in and, you know, it was a good set. I mean, it doesn't get easier. I mean, it does in the way of like, I'm not worried about other stuff that I was worried about that day, you know, where it's like, you know, what if I like eat shit and fall, or what if I like, you know, like just mess up a technique and stuff. Like, I'm confident in myself. It's just, there's so many nerves of stuff because that's out of your control, you know, when you go into a live setting and, you know, on stage, there's just so much shit that could happen. But, you know, it's, I like kind of riding that adrenaline and, you know, what happens. It's definitely helped me with the nerves a lot.
It's always
that mentality.
It's always that first song. Once that first song's halfway done or fully done, then it's like, all right, let's fucking go. We're in it. We started this. I set up like pretty fast. So I'm usually, you know, if there's not a sound check, like say like the bands I was in, like guitarists or something, we're setting stuff up. Still, I would always just be sitting there behind the drums and like just like shaking, like, all right, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And I imagine, you know, being a like a singer and everything, waiting for everyone else to set their shit up and just sitting there like, fuck, fuck. Feel like the singers have it the worst with the waiting game of going on stage ready to perform but needing to wait for everyone else to be ready. And it's like,
yeah, it's like that nerve of like, you know, like you know, I'm about to shit myself because I'm about to go on stage. And it's just like, you know, and I'm like, I have that nerve, like I just want to like burn it with the adrenaline, but I just can't. I just have to stand there and I'm like shaking. But I mean, personally, from what I've noticed, I think like at least with this band, like I feel for my drummer, because, you know, we're like a metalcore, deathcore thing, so he has to bring like a shitload of cymbals everywhere, and just like, you know, he's got like a bunch of stuff to drag around. And I mean, usually it's just like he gets his stuff set up pretty early, but, you know, this always like, because the last show we played was in Spotswood. It was at like basically like a Legion post, but it was like the Polish American Club. And during our, I believe it was our second song, his China cymbal just fucking flew off the drum riser. It's just like, because I found a video of our set on YouTube, and his fucking China just flies off the riser, and like the singer of Corvus ran and he saved it pretty much, but like it was just like, because I didn't even notice, because I wasn't looking at him, I was looking towards the crowd, and it was just, you know, and knowing that like there's nothing you can do about that, you know, but you just have to keep playing. I mean, because you're a drummer, I mean, mostly, right?
Yeah, primarily a drummer.
So I mean, like, I'm assuming you've had those moments where like a cymbal's fallen, or just something just, you know, breaks, like a snare breaks in the middle of a song or something.
It's the worst. It's always the ultimate recovery of whenever you get it done. But it's, luckily it's cool too, like playing with like when you're playing with cool bands and stuff, and I've done the same, like I've done it for people, like with people in the crowd that know how to set the shit up or where it goes and all that. Running and going through the line of fire to go and fix it for them, anyone who does that, we appreciate the shit out of you.
Oh yeah.
But it's, yeah, That's one of the worst things about being a drummer is when something goes flying because you can't move to go grab it. You're stuck. I mean, for him to lose a china too with like, you know, the music you're doing. That's a pretty crucial piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, I mean, it was off balance and he was hitting it hard, you know, because, you know, it just flew away. So, but I mean, we recovered it. And I mean, it's just like I've played instruments. Like, I play them for school. I'm a saxophone player. So I did, you know, I kind of like had musical knowledge before I got into vocals. And I've played a lot of concerts for school where I've just dropped a music stand and lost my papers, or, you know, like just fucked up a really high note. And it's so embarrassing, but then you move on and then you're like, all right, well, that was just like a little hiccup. And now we played, I mean, the rest of what we played was fucking awesome. So.
Yeah. It's always the, just don't sweat it. Shit happens. It just shows you're actually playing the music. And for the most part, yeah, there's the shows when you're a local band, when you're just playing to the other bands. But for the most part, when you're playing in front of people, sometimes half of the crowd, more than half of the crowd, can't play an instrument. So it's like, you know, they don't give a shit. They just kind of look at you and go, you know, all the power to you for being up there, because I couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, there's been moments, you know, where I've been just at shows and shit goes wrong, like the PA's cut out or just something, and you know, I feel like it's just because it's just that like local scene type thing, but I feel like people just don't really care, and they're just like, all right, you know, you guys, you know, just try again in a minute when you fix it, you know. And it's just because they're just there to have fun, you know. A lot of times they're there to support their friends, or I mean, even if they don't know the bands personally, they just enjoy the vibe of a local show. Everybody's cool with each other. Everybody's talking, you know? And it's like the thing with like a lot of like the hardcore scene around here. Like, it's a lot of like older, but like 40s, 50s kind of range. And I mean, older comparatively to me, I guess, but, like, I mean, one of the bands that comes to mind and like a couple is like Kirkby Kiss, you know, Tear Gas. Like, I love those bands. I've seen, like, you know, Graysell and you know, all them. And it's just like, and they're like a clique, you know, it's cool. Like, it's like, they're all friends, you know, they've been friends for a while. It's just, it's a cool vibe. It's a cool vibe to be kind of a part of that, you know, where it's like, everybody's just like, you know, like joking around, and, you know, it's just like, you know, poor man, like Michael Ramirez, like I've been to so many shows that he's been at, like, especially at the Oasis, like, he's just like a cool ass dude, you know. It's just like, and a lot of the people like in that clique are very laid back, you know. They make angry music, but they're not angry people, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's like the thing. Like, for the most part, all the people that, you know, you meet in a metal band, a punk band, and all that, going to those shows, there's always gonna be the scumbags. But for the most part, I'm like, nah, I always meet the coolest down to earth people at those shows. It's when you get to like the,
kind of like mid range, I would say, like where it's like, I remember my old band, we opened for a tour and it was a venue that was like 90 minutes away from us, but we were the local opener and nobody brought anybody. And we were the only people that brought anybody. We got bullied out of the venue. It was just such a shit show. Cause it was just like the headliners were just not the nicest people, and it just wasn't a fun experience, and we left. I mean, we like, and then he put like a post on Facebook with the guitarist, the headliner, like threatening us, and it was just, well, like, he was like, when about the first band opening and then leaving, you know, insert that kind of meme, and then the comments were just like death threats, and he was like egging it on. I was just, what the fuck, dude? It was just like crazy.
I would have fucking went after each one of them, been like, I'm 17, bitch.
I mean, that was the thing. It's like, that was the thing. I was 16 at the time, and I was just like, dude, you're fucking bullying a high schooler. Like, you're a 29-year-old man, and you're playing in like some generic ass deathcore bands, and you're playing a dive bar. Like, I don't really see why you have this narcissism and this ego about you. Like, the scene. And then to preach on social media that like the scene is all inclusive and like, you know, you like being a positive influence on the scene. Like, fuck you, dude. You know, it's just like, I've noticed a lot of people don't put their money where their mouth is, you know? And it's just like, I'm not a lot of people. I mean, it's just like in the scene, that's just kind of, I guess, what you're going to run into. I mean, you probably have experiences like that where it's just like someone preaches about how, like, you know, the scene is for everybody. And then, you know, behind closed doors or like in person, they're just like piece of shit, you know?
Oh, yeah. There are plenty of people.
Oh, yeah. And it's just, sorry, you go.
Oh, no, you're fine.
But yeah, it's just like, you know, like with bands like that, you know, I looked up, like, it's people that I've looked up to, you know, and it's just kind of like that don't meet your heroes type thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, like, I've had some really cool experiences meeting bands. I mean, Coma just opened for If Not For Me, and they're blowing up, right? Like, they're on Sirius XM right now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, they're like blowing up. And like, I talked to their singer for a good like hour. You know, and he was a cool ass guy, Pat. He was just like a cool ass guy, and they made time for every member of every band, and they talked to every single person in the venue. It was so cool.
Yeah, see, like, that's the cool shit, and it's like, that's how it should be. But then you get those bands that are on tour and all that. Like, my band Hateful Scarecrows, we got hit up to play a show by this band, and they're like, yeah, and if you sign on to the show, like, you got to sell these tickets and all that. But like, if you want, you got to put the money up front. And like, but
yeah, see, that's, all, I don't know. Yeah.
They're, I hate like, that. All, and with it though, you'll get to sit down with the lead singer on an hour Zoom call to teach you like the ways of utilizing social media to get out there. And your name will be on the flyer. I'm like, I got to pay to put my name on the flyer. Go fuck yourself. That's
maybe for like a tour buy on or something for like a opening. Cause I'm assuming you were opening like a tour date.
Yeah, it was a tour date, and it was all the bands we were getting hit up. And it was like one of those things. I'm like, dude, I met you at the Brighton Bar. I enjoyed your set with this other band. But you're just on the same level you were 10 years ago, making generic music, probably still all coked up like you were when I was talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
You're nothing. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, it's just like,
that, you know, that reminds me of, you know, like the crazy shit the singer of Trap's been saying for the past couple of years.
I have even kept note of it because when I started to see
it's just it's just some foul transphobic bullshit. And it's just like, you know, he's become like, you know what a lolcow is?
No, I feel like I've heard it before.
Okay, so I'm gonna explain what a lolcow is to you, you geriatric, but you know.
Listen.
I'm fine. But you know, a lolcow, it's LOL cow. It's someone that like is like, you point and laugh at them, and that's the entertainment. And the singer of Trap's become like a lolcow, where, you know, it's like you're milking lols out of, like, you know, laughs out of them. And I don't know if he's trolling. I don't, because a lot of people have said, oh yeah, he's just trolling, or he's, because I mean, they were playing like arenas like 10 years ago, Trapped. And then now they're playing like dive bars because nobody likes them because they're assholes, or at least their singer is. It's just like, that's the mentality. But he's like, he's like, you know, he just carries himself like such an asshole. And it's just like, you know, but he thinks he's just like this big rock star like he was like 10, 15 years ago. Like, you guys had one song that blew up.
Yeah.
And it's so okay. Like, it's just such a mid song, like middle of the road kind of thing. And for them to kind of still have that mentality of like, you know, like, it's just like a midlife crisis kind of vibe, you know, where it's just like, you know, like, I was a rock star like 15 fucking years ago. And it's just like, okay, dude, go take your meds, man. I don't know what to tell you. Like, and it's just, you know, and it's so weird. Cause I mean, like, just like, you know, cause I'm pretty sure they do shit like that where they have openers like pay to play on tour dates, but they're not playing to that many people. Yeah. Like, they're playing like smaller venues, like something that we could play feasibly like right now. And it's just like how far they've fallen, and they still have that mentality of like, we're Trapped, we're huge. You know, it's like, no, you're not. It's just, you know.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's just, it's funny. It's like when Brighton Bar was around, open for like a lot of cool acts, like the Casualties, Gutter Mouth, you know, like big names and punk and shit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was so weird seeing it. Cause like Gutter Mouth, coolest fucking dudes, was just like hanging out bullshitting with them. you know, I've been Chuck Mosley, the original singer of Faith No More. I didn't play the show, but I was there just bullshitting with him like the whole night hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
But then like open for Doyle, the guitarist of the Misfits.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I walk in the promoter. I'm like, yo, I see Doyle's bus is around back. Like, you know, mind just introduce me. I just want to say what's up. Meet the guy. You know, I'm a big Misfits fan. So he's like, oh, yeah, I could maybe get you a discount on a meet and greet package. I'm like,
that's crazy.
Discount on a meet and greet. So I went out back. I was a smoker at the time and it was a fenced off area. And I'm sitting there smoking a cigarette and I hear weights clanging. And I look through the cracks of the fence and all I see is Doyle bench pressing with fucking weights with his face on it.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy. But Doyle's a monster, man. He's like just a pound. He's just, he looks like, he just looks like roid rage embodied. Like, it's insane. Like, he is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing.
I mean, did you talk to him at all throughout the night, or was it just kind of like,
So, no, wasn't allowed. He was on the bus, but I did get the text at midnight when, because it was a work night and we got yelled at for not selling many tickets. I'm like, It's a Monday, an hour from where we live. And and he's like, but it's Doyle. I'm like, yeah, but it's not the Misfits. No one gives a fuck about Doyle.
And that's the thing. Oh, my God. I've been wanting to talk about this. I've been wanting to rant. Local opener abuse, dude.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Dude, it is so unreal. Like, it is just something I've been dealing with since I got in the scene. I didn't really, I've heard bands talk about it, and then I experienced the first time, like, holy shit. I don't know if the promoters of the bands are worse. I would say maybe promoters, but, I mean, I also, like, the promoters that we work with are sweethearts, and I love them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, because we If Not For Me show, we played, and we were supposed to sell, like, a certain amount of tickets. You know, I'm not going to disclose, but we didn't. We weren't able to sell because it was also a Monday. It was April Fool's. It was a Monday.
My birthday.
And, oh, that's your birthday?
Yeah.
That's my bassist's birthday. That was, we sang happy birthday to him on stage. Oh, it was my bassist's birthday.
Dude, yeah. I swear, every time I mention it, someone who I say it to, someone they're close with, it's such a common birthday.
Yeah, which is so weird because I have never known anybody growing up that had that birthday. So
yeah,
but we didn't sell all the tickets. So I texted him and he's like, "Oh, don't worry about it. You know, you don't have to pay the difference. Don't worry about it." And I was like, "That's so awesome." You know, and so I was fully prepared to pay that. You know, because that was what we agreed on when we signed on for the show. You know, we agreed to the terms of that. But it was like he was just like, "Oh, don't worry about it." You know, and he's still putting us on shows because he's awesome. You know, and it's just. And it's like, you know, working with a promoter in Delaware, we played a show at Hagman's in Claymont. And that promoter, he's such a funny ass dude. Like, it was just like, you know, he took the time to talk to everybody and to be cool with everybody. It was just such a fun experience. And I don't think I've had, since we've been playing, I don't think I've had an experience where I don't think I've had a negative experience playing live. I mean, like, there was, the last show we played, one of the other openers accidentally took our drummer's hi-hat.
Yeah.
And we don't know where it is. So that's still ongoing.
But
it's not, I mean, it's like I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I think they just accidentally took it and, you know, I don't know. I'm not in contact with them. But like we went to the venue because apparently they dropped it off, but they didn't. It was the whole thing. But you know, I'm a very like positive guy. I just assume that they just accidentally took it because we had all our shit piled up next to each other and you know, it's not hard, but it was funny because yesterday at practice, my drummer Cody took like giant pink duct tape and was writing "Coma Courtesy" on all the simple packs. And it was just, you know, just to avoid that. It was so funny, but yeah, no, it was just like, you know, we haven't had any local abuse because we haven't really opened for anything huge. I mean, If Not For Me, I think they said that the venue we played at was the smallest venue they've ever played.
Yeah.
Which was pretty crazy. I mean, because I didn't think it was that big of a venue and, you know, I didn't think it was like that small of a venue. Cause it's like a, you know, a Sportsman's Cafe in Allentown. Have you ever heard of the place?
No, I've heard of it, but I've never been.
I think you could play that place and have a fucking good time. Like the sound system was cool. All the employees were cool. I mean, the promoter, you know, I mean, I've been like, you know, talking amazing about him. So I guess I can, I mean, I, can I name drop? I mean, I don't want to.
All right. I'm just going to say this right.
Throw you into anything.
Oh shit. The audio is cutting out. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Oh, but yeah. I was going to say, this is a podcast all about bringing people together, exposing people's stories and their art to others. Of course you can fucking name drop. Come on.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Cause I didn't want to, you know, but anyways, so Endless Era Promotions is the name of the promoter. I've been following them for a bit. And I mean, from our, do you know them?
Yeah, I do, and they're fucking terrible. I'm fucking kidding. I've never heard of them.
Yeah, no, it's a two man. I think it might be three man operation, but they're in Pennsylvania and New York, and all right. And I think New Jersey too. They just started doing stuff in New Jersey, but Planet Trog, the thing out in Whitehall, like the old laser tag arena.
Planet Trog. That sounds really familiar, but I've never been.
So we're playing there in June, and Endless Era put that one together. And I mean, like Lewis, the guy I've been in contact with, such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
I mean, the second ever SDFU show, I ran merch for them at Planet Trog. They opened for Keep Flying. And Lewis is such a cool dude. Like, he's so down to earth. He's very like for the bands, which I thought was really cool. But he's been doing stuff since like 2017. Like, he's done shows for Lorna Shore back when, like, you know, they were, you know, like a smaller thing. And it was just, like, he's been doing it for a while, and he's worked with a lot of like pretty big acts, and it's cool, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, he got If Not For Me, and we were playing at Sportsman's Cafe, and it's just like, you know, it's one of those like dingy like metal bars, and you know, like you know what I'm talking about. And it's just,
yeah,
you know, like there's stickers all over the bathroom, and you're like, all right, am I gonna get robbed here? And it's just, but it was such a fun experience. It was such a cool little spot, and you know, I would definitely play there again. I mean, if not, like, again, it was just like the promoter was cool, the bands were cool. I mean, the other band that we played with, the Magwas, like they're like this pop punk thing, and they were very like emo pop punk. They were super cool. Like, it was a cool like mesh of genres, and it was just, you know, for a Monday there was like 40 people that popped out.
Damn. So,
yeah.
Okay. And what was the name of the promotion company again?
Endless Era Promotions. They're based out of like the Lehigh Valley area. It's they're so sick. They're such cool dudes.
Cool. Nah, I definitely want to shoot them a follow and everything, and because I want to try. Oh, yeah. I haven't done Terror Tunes out in PA, even mm-hmm. like Philly, anywhere in PA. I haven't done it. So looking to branch out. So,
yeah, no, he works with pretty much everything. I mean, it's definitely more like in the alternative space. I mean, you fall into that, but it's less of like, it's just like rock, alternative music. It's super cool. Like, and you know, they're really cool dudes. They're really easy to contact. I mean, he texted me on Facebook. I was like, hey, you guys want to play this show? And it was just, you know, it's super cool. And you know, it's just like finding people like that gives me kind of faith in the scene. You know, it's just like, you know, cause I was worried, cause it's a Monday, we weren't going to be able to sell the tickets that we were asked to sell. You know, I was pretty worried, and he was like, nah, dude, you're good. And I was like, all right, cool. And it was such a sick experience. I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to do that for everybody. I mean, if you're listening, don't, you know, do that. But I mean, it was a Monday. So,
yeah,
but yeah, no, awesome people over there, Aaron and Lewis. Awesome. But, yeah, we're opening Planet Trog, which is like a 400 cap.
Damn.
Yeah, no, we're on the main stage, which I'm super excited about.
And that used to be a laser tag place, you said?
Yeah. So, I mean, you could probably talk to, I mean, Harry about it. Because I didn't really walk around the venue too much. I mean, I went to the merch booth. I mean, I saw the floor area, and there's like flying saucers hanging from the ceiling, and it's just it's so cool. Like, I feel like it's such a cool place. And like, because now it's called Club Kerrigan's, but people still call it Planet Trog. Like, there have been so many like sizable acts that have played there, and it's just it's like one of those venues that's like such a huge stepping stone that I've always really wanted. Like, ever since I've been there, I'm like, I have to play this place. And you know, it was such a cool, and I mean, the bands we're playing with are sick. It's June 22nd, and that one's all ages, and that's what I'm excited about. It's all ages, so I mean, I can hopefully we can bring out like a, you know, a good crowd. I mean, we're gonna have, I mean, right now we do have merch, but we're going to probably be printing more. And I mean, it's just like putting people in Coma Courtesy shirts is awesome. So
it's cool too, because it's like with smartphones and all that, and fast mm-hmm. internet, you know, back in my day we had dial up. With everything now, there's so many just like fast turnaround, great quality merch sites for stickers.
Oh, yeah.
Shirts, everything. And like, that was one thing when I was younger, like in high school, we had, it was Weartown Fire Hall. The promoter was like, if you guys sell 50 tickets, you could take the money or I'll have shirts made. Sadly, the shirts were it was like generic, just clip art designs. So yeah. Unhallowed had t-shirts with a fucking red cobra on it. Makes no fucking sense. We didn't have
one. It was just like that stock image, like a badass on Google, and it's just like, yeah.
But like, it was cool, like seeing people in those shirts. But now it's like, I absolutely love me, Harry, and Alex from Molotov Muchacho and stuff. We were talking Union, and we were just exchanging merch places and all that. And it's just like, it's so cool having it so easily accessible, because like when you put out your first album and if you do physicals, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I did this.
Because I have a bunch of CDs that we're going to burn, and we're going to do the DIY thing with that. I have jewel cases and CDs. It's going to be so fun. So,
you're making my heart so warm right now. With Unhallowed, it was paper sleeves. I was writing the MySpace link on pack.
Dude, I wish MySpace was still around. Because like it died like when I was starting to get online, I guess. And it was just, you know, like it was, I mean, there have been like MySpace, like revive, like renaissance sites, and it's just like, you know, bring back MySpace, and it's like kind of like the same thing, but it'll never be the same.
Nah, MySpace was great, and it was like just being able to upload your music to it and then like just letting it all hang out and being that douche with your own band as your profile song. I did it.
Oh, yeah.
I loved every second of it.
Yeah. I mean, you think about like all the bands that are around now, like a lot of them blew up on MySpace, you know, like the Warped Tour scene. I mean, Warped Tour, fucking, that's, you know, I was too young to go, but my older sister went to a bunch of Warped Tours, like, you know, seeing, like, Bring Me the Horizon, A Day to Remember. It's just, like, you know, it's a pretty, like, huge act. I mean, she has, like, there's a signed fucking Bring Me the Horizon poster in her house.
Damn.
And it's just, like, yeah, and it's, like, you know, it's so cool that, like, that was a thing. I mean, I know that they're, like, I know that the Franz from Attila was talking about buying it. I mean, you've probably seen that, right?
Nah, I haven't actually.
Yeah, he's been saying that he wants to buy Warped Tour. But he was, I don't know how I feel about that, because, I mean, he said that, like, he would do it, in, like, where it would have to be more expensive so he could pay the bands better. Because I remember that the main selling point of Warped Tour was just, it was, like, dirt cheap. Yeah, it was, like, $20 for, like, a festival, you know, like a touring festival.
It like was a day pass.
Like, that's, yeah.
I remember Warped Tour, like, I met up with my buddy on LBI, and like this girl he went to school with was there, and it was the day before the PNC Warped Tour, and she just straight up went, "Yeah, you look like someone that would like Warped Tour." I'm like, "I like what Warped Tour used to be." She's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "Oh, and you know, punk bands played it. Now it's kind of, you know, different."
Yeah,
but I'm like, "Yeah, there's some pretty good acts." I'm like, "I know Let Live's playing. I want to see Let Live." She's like, "Well, I have an extra ticket if you want it, just, you know, face value." And like on the spot, just being like, "Oh yeah, sure." Cause it was only like $30 or $40. And it was like, all right. Yeah. And like, I went, met Jason Butler from Let Live, got sunburned, severely dehydrated. It was the time of my life.
Yeah. The fucking, I don't know if you, the Monster Tour water shit, you know what I'm talking about?
Where it's in the can.
So yeah, cause it was just like, you know, that was because seeing like a bunch of old interviews from Warped Tour, that's like, that's what made me want to tour, is seeing people like, you know what Bus Invaders is?
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Yeah. They go on. It's like Room Raiders, not Room Raiders, Cribs almost.
Yeah. But it's like tour buses and vans. Yeah. And I was like, that's so cool. And Warped Tour, obviously, you know, it's Bus Invaders. Most of the bands on Warped Tour had a bus, you know, it's just like, but I mean, I feel like there's so many things that are trying to recreate that, you know?
It's one of those things that, just like with movies, it's like they're trying to reboot too much instead of make a new entity that pays tribute to things of the past, but they're not trying to be things of the past. Like,
exactly. I mean, like, cause I mean, there's a lot of like tours that are going on right now. Like there's one, I mean, I know you're not really in like the deathcore space. I mean, that's kind of like my bread and butter.
Yeah.
But Summer Slaughter Tour is a big one, and it runs from like the end of July to through August, and they haven't been active since 2019. They literally made a post like the other day, like, "Hey, we're announcing our 2024 lineup on the 22nd of April."
Wait,
I was
what?
Like, "What the fuck?" Yeah, I was like, "What the fuck?"
I don't dive too much into that music, but like all my buddies Like they, you know, they were always going to Summer Slaughter.
Yeah, I mean, 2007 Summer Slaughter had like Necrophagus on it, and like some old school death metal. I mean, they've been around for a bit. And then, I mean, like Lorna Shore, I mean, that's how they kind of like got their, they started playing to bigger audiences because they were playing like, they played like 2-3 years in a row on the Summer Slaughter. I mean, it was also cool because there was also, I know for 2019, they had a radio contest winner as the opener on the tour. Where they would like bring out a contest winner. And that's the kind of thing I think is so fucking cool about these things. It's like because they're trying to be Warped Tour. There was like 7-8 bands on this tour, you know, and it's a big package, but there'd be local openers at each venue.
Oof. You just brought back PTSD, friend. Played in high school with the band with Brendan, Unhallowed. Mm-hmm. We played War for the Warped Tour. And we played
a battle of the bands type thing.
Yeah, and we played Starland Ballroom, and it was all other locals, and it was the beauty contest of the tickets, who could sell the most tickets.
Oh, okay.
And it was terrible, and it was like everyone. It turned out to be a joke between local bands where we're just like, oh man, you're doing War for Warped Tour. We're like, ah, nah. Don't know if I could sell that many tickets.
Like, yeah. It's like a pay to win type thing.
I'm sure, like, you know, with stuff like Summer Slaughter and all that, like, it probably wasn't as big. Cause it's,
yeah.
Warped Tour, I don't know. I feel like it got so, like, very just like prey on the younger generations.
Oh, dude, there are so many creeps and predators. Yeah. And it's just like, that's a whole different rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And it's just.
But, between like the girls with the bands, but also with like, you know, the local dudes and bands that want to look cool playing Warped Tour. And I'm like, not for nothing, if I got to play Warped Tour, that'd be fucking cool. I would have been stoked. But
yeah
it's foof.
People wanted to do it for the wrong reasons.
Exactly.
And I mean, there's also a tour that's actually about to start that's kind of emulating that like Warped Tour vibe, and it's Chaos and Carnage. I don't know if you're familiar.
Nah.
So Chaos and Carnage is they right now, I think their main lineup is eight or nine bands.
Right.
And like Carnifex and Cattle Decapitation are the headliners.
Shit.
But it's actually really cool. So I'm friends with a couple members of this band called Black Winter in New York, and they're opening the Brooklyn date, but they're in the side room. And that was another thing, is like, because last year, because they've been doing it every year since like 2021. I think it was going on before then, but like 2021 was like a big one. Like Suicide Silence was playing like 2 years in a row. I mean, they played Starland last year. Like it's a pretty big tour. I mean, but they have like 8 or 9 bands. And the thing is, like some of the venues, like Reverb out in like Reading, PA.
Yeah.
They have a outdoor stage where they have like 15 local bands playing outside to like the line, basically. I mean, I don't know if it's the line, but it's like an outdoor festival, and then you go indoor for like the big boy bands, you know. It's just like I mean, there, I have some friends that, like, I mean, there's this guy I'm friends with, Dakota Dufour, from this band called Belvibooth, and they're like kind of like this satanic blackened deathcore thing. It's sick. But they're playing the Reverb date, I believe, and there's also another band that we're playing with in June. This is a Threat, and they're also playing that date. And it's like, there's like 10, 15 bands that are playing. And I'm like, how the fuck does that work? You know, because Reverb is not the biggest venue in the world. It's probably, I mean, I've never been there. It's like 90 miles away.
Yeah.
And I've never been there, but from what I know, it's like slightly bigger than Starland. So it's not a festival kind of holding the venue. But it's a really cool idea. And I feel like they're kind of trying to emulate that Warped Tour, like, let's pack as many fucking bands in here and do like a mobile festival type thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, playing to the line exactly ain't a bad thing. Cause I mean, if the doors aren't open yet.
Yeah. I mean, people
gotta hear it. Yeah. I know. Cause like Knights of Malice has played Reverb quite a few times. I know, like, they love playing there. Cause they always say like crowds, like, fucking into it and stuff, and
yeah, it's, got it's like pretty a good big following. You know? Yeah, so Reverb is like its own little scene, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, if you're going out there, you know, one of 15 bands, chances are a decent amount of people are going to roll up. So you're going to be like, yo, there's 15 other bands aside from these headliners I want to check out. You know, you never know who the next big band is. So it's...
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Knights of Malice, you know, just to shout them out. I mean, they're on tour right now, dude. That's fucking... Like, I know they've been touring for a bit, but like they're on like a big tour, like with Casket Robbery right now.
I forgot that's going on right now.
Yeah, no, I keep seeing them post about stopping at Bucky's, and I'm like, I'm fucking jealous, dude. I want to go to a Bucky's really bad.
I went I went for my birthday like 2 years ago to a wrestling convention in Texas, and we went to Bucky's. Fucking fantastic.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like I want to, because my old band almost played with Knights of Malice, but that show fell through. But like Abadonia, I know, was the other headliner on there. August till October was going to play it too. Like, it was going to be a big homie fest. And like, it just fell through. And I mean, like, Knights of Malice, I mean, like, I saw them open for Face Yourself and Signs of the Swarm, and I was blown away. Very like the Black Dahlia Murder kind of like, but like modernized, you know?
Yeah,
it was very like cool sounds. I mean, very talented dudes. They were all very nice. I mean, I got that picture with Brendan. Sick dude, you know.
I'm gonna text him after the show. I'm just gonna say, bring me back beaver nuggets, bitch.
Yeah. I mean, are they from around this area? Because they're from Ocean County, right? Or are they from what?
Yeah, they're Brendan, he lives a town over from me now, but he grew up the same town, walking distance from me.
That's sick.
You know, Manchester area and everything. Yeah, they're from here in our neck of the woods.
Dude, we gotta try to do like because I wanted to do a thing, you know, and this is, I mean, it fell through last year, but I wanted to do like a Moshtober thing where it's like, you know, raising money for cancer research and treatment. But it's so hard to find a venue and to find like headliners to actually bring people out. I wanted to do it on a farm, you know, and have like, you know, because then, you know, that's a lot of space, you know, people can dance around, you know, and, you know, build a stage. And then there's also like other Halloween related stuff that they can do at this farm. But it's just such a hassle trying to book stuff like that. But like, yeah, I mean, like, shit. I mean, I might try to do it again. Because me and Dan were trying to tackle that, and it was just such a bitch to get down.
Dude, I'm just saying, you're talking to someone and mentioning people that have done it and can totally help out.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I brought it up. I was trying to like sneak it in. I was like,
sneak it in.
I was like, Nick, can you help?
Yeah, I mean, not even me, but like Brendan. Like we played. There was like it was called Grovestock. In the VFW, not the VF Fire Hall, whatever, same difference. And then it was at outside, my buddy Ryan Morris built a stage and all that in his backyard. It was out in Warren Grove. So, you know, no one gave a shit and everything. Play music as loud as you want. We had it, you know, probably like 15 bands or so and camp out and all that. It was fun. But, it's like holding DIY. DIY is my life. I miss it. 'Cause my buddy Jacob and I always held shows in his basement, his parents' basement in Tom's River. And it's just like, you know, see another warming of the heart. Gonna make this geriatric cry. Not just because you call me a geriatric.
Well, yeah, but I take that back. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry.
You're all good. Now, we like holding shows. They're like, it's so stressful and fun at the same time, but it's like holding something like that, like, you know, for charity and all that. It's like, all right, who's really gonna talk shit, you know? Like,
yeah, and it's like, you know,
who's gonna shut it down? You want to shut down a festival raising money for cancer research? Fuck you.
Yeah, like, and it's like I had a designer from a merch company make like mock-up t-shirts for last year, you know. Like, I paid for the design, but it never really went anywhere. Like, I didn't order the shirts. But I mean, I could definitely like hit her up, and, you know, like, I definitely want to try again, because it was such a, like, I feel like it was such a cool idea, but it's just finding a venue was such a hassle. I had bands, like, obviously people want to play festivals, like, that's just fun, you know?
Yeah.
People want to play to big crowds, they want to meet new musicians and bands and stuff, and it's just It's finding the right place to do it.
Yeah.
That has the capacity.
Well, we'll be in talks. We'll figure something out.
You know, this culture episode will hopefully branch into down the line, but you know.
Oh yeah. There's an elephant in the room here we haven't talked about, and the memory lanes, the tangents is what a podcast is about, but mm-hmm. let's get down to business.
Oh yeah.
Coma Courtesy's got an album coming out.
Oh yeah. Well, we have our debut EP coming out, which I'm very excited about.
Now with like your other project and all that, like your first project, you guys, I forget, did you record anything or is this the first
we had stuff recorded, but it wasn't really like a studio experience. We recorded in a garage and it's like, it didn't come out very well at all. Like it wasn't even like, oh, DIY flattering. It just sucked. Right. You know, it wasn't even like that nice. Like it wasn't even like nice. Like, oh, but DIY feel like a lot of punk bands have. It was just bad. And, I finally had my first recording experience, you know, like a couple weeks ago, we hopped in the studio in a musician's workshop in Englishtown, and Mikey, one of the workers there, he recorded us, and we sent it out to a guy named Chris that is friends with my bassist, and he's worked for Atlantic Records, I believe. He's produced for Post Malone, The Weeknd. Like he's got some skin in the game. So I was really excited when I found that out, that you know he had this experience, and it's on the shorter side. I mean, I'm bordering on calling it like a demo, but I feel like the production is just so good that it might just be like a. Maybe it's less than 10 minutes is what I'm saying. Like that fast, like intense kind of, you know, like we get the idea across and we don't dwell on it, you know, and it's, you know, and yeah. I mean, obviously, I mean, I want to in the future focus on writing more long-term stuff, but I'm very happy with the way it came out. I mean, at first I was a little pissed off that it came out so short, but then I was like, I thought about it. I'm like, the shorter it is, the more streams we can get because it's easier to re-listen. You know, it's only like, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes long, you know, per song. And it's just, you know, and I mean, we've already been writing new music after we've recorded all this.
Oh, yeah.
It's a four song track. I mean, like, I find it very special because I feel like these lyrics, you know, I mean, I've written pretty much all of them. But melodies is definitely, you know, the other bandmates have been a very big help with that. And it's all screaming for this debut. I know in the future we're thinking about having my bassist maybe hop on and do some singing, but for this one, it's about mental health. It's about like struggling with mental health. And, you know, I think that's something that a lot of people, you know, as of recently can relate to heavily, you know, and it's just, and I mean, I've been in and out of mental institutions. I'm very open about that. You know, like I've struggled, you know, and it's, you know, and throughout high school, it just sucked. You know, I graduated early. You know, because I just couldn't handle it. You know, I was just like, I'm going to fucking put the work in and I'm going to get out of here and do my own thing and live my life outside of school. And I did it. And, you know, I've been in and out of the institutions and I really wanted to kind of like put that into song form and just like, you know, and it, like our debut, like our lead single off the EP Kaleidoscope, it's like an analogy, like for schizophrenia. I'm not personally schizophrenic. I don't have schizophrenia, but I have known people who do, and I consider people who have schizophrenia, you know, like I'm close to people with schizophrenia that I consider very close friends and very good people. And it's about the stigmas behind it, and it's just like, oh, you're crazy, you know, like you see shit. It's like that's fucking stupid. That's not at all. Like I feel like it's so misrepresented in the media, and Kaleidoscope, it's that struggle of not being able to understand if what you're seeing in the corner of your eye is actually there. And that kaleidoscope is like that illusion, like the prismatic kind of like, you know, like when you look into a kaleidoscope, it's like those stupid dollar store things with all the like lights and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that where it's like, you're seeing so much, it's like sensory overload. And that's kind of what I was attaching that to schizophrenia, you know, where it's like, it's that you're seeing everything your mind can process all at the same time. And you know, it's definitely, you know, I've known people and they've struggled. It's been a fucking fight for them, but I mean, like, they're some of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. Yeah. And you know, and it's that misrepresentation of how schizophrenia is presented in the media. That's why I wrote about it. Like, I mean, the songs are brutal. I mean, they got breakdowns, they got gutturals, they got screaming, but like, you know, guilt is a big thing, you know, self-worth and like really those kind of struggles. I mean, I think it'll resonate with people.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely think that, I mean, we're working on possibly like a full length soon. We're definitely in writing, and a lot of the stuff about that is kind of related to that mental illness and, you know, the mental disease that a lot of people have, you know, been battling since, you know, COVID and beforehand, you know, because I feel like a lot of people feel more divided than ever, but we're actually closer than we've ever been with our mentalities, you know?
It's crazy because thinking back, like, you know, battling that shit, like, you know, like mental health problems and all that, depression, anxiety, half my life now, you know, and I look back and, you know, I went to only one hospital, and then I'm like, you know, stubborn Aries asshole. I'm like, I'll do this on my own. But it's like, you know, there's the bad days still now, but fuck, I'm still here. I survived, you know, I'm still going. But it's, you know, with, like you said, COVID and everything, through the years, luckily, mental health and everything has been taken more serious, and people don't downgrade it with others. But it's good that happened before COVID and everything, because like with people getting, you know, shut in, things they love doing,
isolation.
It's
just that isolation will destroy you, you know. And it's, I think people, and then that's the thing, is like, I feel like, you know, I mean, this is, I mean, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, but you know, with a lot of like being stuck inside and like, you know, being in those echo chambers of very like, I mean, that's, I mean, how you get those like hateful ass opinions online, you know. It's like, I don't believe that. I mean, people are not born hateful, you know, not at all. It's a taught thing and it's a learned thing. And I think that COVID was very divisive for a lot of people because they were not exposing themselves to different ideas. And I feel like, you know, I definitely, you know, I'm a very like love first kind of person. Like, I think, you know, love is love, you know, let people live.
Yeah.
And there are people that are very at odds with that, you know, and do I hate them? No. I think their opinions are disgusting.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, the way that you can learn hate, you can unlearn it.
Oh, totally. It's,
you know,
go ahead.
Sorry, you go. We're going to have a little polite fight, but all right. So, so it's just like, again, the echo chamber mentality, it's, you know, you see it in a lot of like very like political actions in the United States. It's just sitting in an echo chamber doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they're worried about like, they're like lobbyists that are just, you know, fucking fighting for the ill will of the people. Like, it's just like insane to me. Cause I love people, you know, I don't think I could ever hate a person, you know, and it's, I've definitely disliked people in my life, you know, but I feel like, you know, from what I've learned just in those mental health institutions, it's just, you know, that hate is just so unfounded and it's a learned thing. And I feel like people need to take the time to just realize, you know, like it's the same shit where it's like, you know, love thy neighbor type shit. You know, it's just like practice what you preach. That's
the issue. A lot of these people don't, and the love thy neighbor gets swept under the rug at the front door. The welcome mat's not a welcome mat. I mean,
you know, it's just such a, you know, a weird time, because I feel like I, you know, this is gonna be a weird age thing for you. I was 13 when COVID started.
Jesus fucking Christ!
I was in eighth grade. I was a middle schooler when COVID started. So I didn't God get a damn. Single.
Hold yeah, on one second. Hold on. Let me digest that. My spiked seltzer's finished.
Yeah.
When COVID started and I was quarantined for 2 weeks because my dad was exposed, I was happy. I went to the liquor store and got myself a bottle of Wild Turkey 101, and I was getting hammered because that's all I could do. And you were in middle school. You were 13.
And that's where I feel like, you know, a lot of people in my age group just kind of got fucked. You know, they got like destroyed mentally. Like, there are so many people that I've met in my age group, like, that are just terrible people. And I do not want to associate with them, but I grew up with them. And like through like elementary school, like, they were the sweetest kids. And then after COVID, they're just like evil people. And it's just, and it's because of that isolation, those echo chambers, and it's just not being able to expose yourself to new ideas. Like, I went to the Pride Parade in Tom's River last June, and there were anti-gay protesters, and I thought it was fucking foul, you know, and it is. I think the fact that you're going to be so headstrong in your opinion against a group of people is just, get your head out of your ass, you know?
Yeah. It's, I always say, I'm like, if your God loves everyone, I'm like, then why is he so against two people of, you know, the same like gender, or, you know, whatever they identify as? What, why is it a crime that they love each other, but they can't because it's not a man and a woman? I'm like, if so, if the person who supposedly loves everyone, I'm like, no, it's your God says that because it was transcribed to that from, you know, many, 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 many years ago.
Oh yeah. And I mean, there's so many of, like, I'm assuming, like, you know, I'm not a theologist. I mean, my drummer is religious, and I've had very, like, respectful conversations with him about it.
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
He's not a hateful person. He's not a hateful person at all. Like, he's very accepting of everybody. You know, he loves everybody. You know, he's what I think most Christians should aspire to be.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, you know, he's a sweetheart. He, you know, maybe he doesn't understand stuff. I mean, I don't even understand a lot of shit that's going on. But I'd just be like, you know what? They're having fun. They're not hurting anybody. They're having fun. Yeah. You know, they're enjoying their life. They're happy. What? Who am I to shoot that in the foot? You know, it's not my fucking place to say anything. You know, and that's kind of my mentality. It's like, I, you know, there have been a lot of stuff that, like, I've come across, you know, that I just don't understand. You know, but I don't need to understand it. I just need to accept it. You know, I don't need to you know, personally prescribe myself to that idea. You know, like, I've known people who are non-binary, and they have explained it to me, and I'm like, oh, I you know, I get that, you know, but I don't feel that way. I don't think I could ever feel that way, but I accept the fact that you feel that way, you know, because that's all that matters. It's, you know, it's about you. You know, it's about what makes you happy. Now, if you're going out and hurting people, that's different. And I feel like that's the argument that a lot of these very hateful groups use. It's like, oh, what about the children and stuff? The children are fucking fine, dude. I'm like, I'm chilling, man. Like, it's just...
I hate when memes make a good point, because I hate memes making a point, because a lot of times, you know, people from these sides that, you know, they're just so click and share, look at me, I'm so right and everything. But it was like, and people say drag shows are the issue. And it was a father with his young daughters and young, like, a young son, like the daughters, maybe like the oldest was 12, in front of two girls in thongs bent over, and they were Let's Go Brandon, like, panties, underwear, or whatever, holding a Fuck Biden flag, and the kids were flipping it off. And I'm like, and you're worried about drag shows? Nah, you're just just against it because you're a hateful person to those people. Fuck yourself.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, America. And it's like with the drag, I mean, with the drag shows, it's just like, you know, I don't get it. I think it's pretty cool, though. Like, it's just like, do whatever the fuck you want. Like, it's just,
most of you people lived through the 80s and enjoyed Motley Crue. Like,
yeah, dude, and the Motley Crue, I mean, you look back on the shit they were doing, man, and you were fine with that. Like,
and look
on.
How they were dressed. Like, makeup, poofed out hair. It's, you know,
stilettos and shit. Like,
it's drag queens with not nearly as enough talent. Drag queens got way more talent.
Exactly. It's just like, it's, you know, and it's just so interesting, like, a lot of the perspectives I've seen, you know, because it's just like the internet is just an echo chamber for fucking stupidity and, like, people with the most dog shit takes on anything. And it's just, you know, and it's like, you know, I've never used Twitter. I tried using it for like a day. I'm like, I don't want to use Twitter. And then I deleted Twitter. It was, and I'm so glad because I feel like it saved me so much headache. Like arguing with like troglodytes on Twitter, dude. It's just, it's like, it's, you know, it's, I just want people to love each other, you know? And I feel like as long as they're not hurting anybody and they're not hurting me, I don't give a shit, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, I want to live my life and I want people to feel that they can do the same without any risk of being hurt, you know, for no fucking reason.
And that's the thing with it. It's with these people with these strong, like, you know, opinions about how people should live and, you know, with the banishing, you know, all LGBTQ plus people like to hell and all. It's like they're literally not hurting anyone. There's much mm-hmm. more dangerous shit going on in the world. And this is what you're focusing on. And it's like, let people just love who they want to love and everything. And it's always the argument of look how much shit was pushed on us as kids. Like, you know, watching wrestling as a kid and the girls getting mm-hmm. stripped down to their bra and panties and stuff. And it's like, we were exposed to that. And now people.
I mean, on a little bit of a tangent on that, have you seen Quiet on Set about the Dan Schneider documentary with like Nickelodeon and everything? The situations they were putting those kids in were so over-sexualized, you know? And that's what, and then people were fine with that. And it's just, you know, and now you're not okay with someone cross-dressing because they like it and they're not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just so weird to me.
It's just, it's such ass backwards mentality because you bring up things within that's always, oh, well, we weren't soft back then. All right. Well, you're soft right now, friend, because you're mm-hmm. hating on people for no reason. And it's just, it's at a point, it's like it's with some people, it's just running in circles because they're that far gone.
Oh, yeah.
That it's just like,
thing, it's like, you know, like I said before, I mean, hate can be unlearned, but it's definitely harder for some people. You know, it's so hard because, you know, a lot of people don't care about their opinion being changed when they go into a debate about stuff like this. It's like the fucking debate brain that the internet has created where it's like, I just need to own you. I need to get you on one thing and then like none of your other points, all your other points are mute or moot. Like it's just, it doesn't fucking matter. And it's just like, you know, like people like that, like Ben Shapiro is fucking insane. Like, it's just, you know, it's just like those, like, you know, but you also have, I mean, to be fair, I can't name names because I don't really, but I mean, there are people on the left that have that same mentality.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, you know, you can't see eye to eye on literally anything. You just have to be right about all your points or you're not going to fucking even hear them out. You know, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, I have my opinions, but I will always let someone make their point.
Yeah.
I don't have to agree with them. And I could think that they said the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. But, you know, it's like, it's not my place because I know I have my opinion. And I know the people I have behind me are a lot more loving and a lot more caring than the people that they put behind, like, because if you're constantly focused on other people's lifestyles, your life is so negative.
Oh yeah,
it's so negative. You are like, I can't even think of a scenario where like someone who goes to these like rallies against LGBTQ people, like, how is your life not miserable? It probably is, you know.
Man. It's
and it's just again, you know, and I think like, you know, not agreeing with someone's lifestyle is none of your fucking business, but you know. I mean, you can think that, but don't try to project that and like tear other people down. You know, it's just, it has nothing to do with you. And that's what I don't understand is like, everybody wants everything to be about themselves. And it's just let people live, like let people live their lives without, you know, scrutiny from fucking people that will never meet them. Like, I mean, even like those echo chambers online, like I've seen the most abhorrent homophobic and transphobic shit online. And it's just like, they have nothing to fucking do with you. You know, they're just living their life, living their truth. You know, they're fucking loving their existence. And you're a miserable piece of shit on fucking like in Instagram comments saying the most abhorrent shit. Like, it's just, you know, you just don't. It's free to be kind.
Yeah. And it all reverts back to, you know, talk about mental illness and stuff. Like, doing mm-hmm. that, it pushes, like, if anyone is suffering from anything like that and you're going at them for simply, you know, being proud of who they are and shit, that's like, dude, you're kind of going at, like, you're targeting them, and that's just going to push them down these holes. And that's why you have all, like,
exactly.
these tragedies of people, like, taking their lives and stuff. And it's
exactly
sucks.
That's why those rates are at all-time highs, because you look at, like, the rise of social media is so accessible to be a hateful bigot. You know, and, you know, and that's why people, because words hurt, you know. It's not like, I mean, I'm not trying to, like, you know, I grew up bullied, you know. I feel like a lot of people have that similar experience. That's just, you know, I mean, a lot of people in this scene, I feel like, are the weird kids in school.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of what it was, you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I was bullied for it, you know, and it's just, I feel like that kind of shaped me into the person I am now, but, like, I can never see myself projecting that inner hatred I had for myself because of other people onto someone else, you know?
Yeah.
But it's so common.
Yeah. It's the people that were outcasts and stuff are the most accepting people, because they know what it's like mm-hmm. to be, you know, pushed aside and all that
exactly.
shit.
Exactly. And it's like, it's the same thing as, you know, it's like, you know, with, like, Dan and Harry, it's like, they're making the weirdest fucking music. I mean, you as well. Like, I mean, in the best way. I mean, this in the best way possible. Like, you make some weird shit.
And thank
it's
you.
Just, you know, and it's like, you know, and but it's like, you know, like, you're one of the nicest people in the scene I've ever met. And it's like, you're one of the most accepting people. And it's just like, even like the existence of this podcast is just, you know, like you even said, it's to bring people together. And then, you know, but you never will see something like that in those more hateful circles. It's not about bringing people together. It's about pushing an agenda, you know. And it's just like, yeah, I just feel like more people should be open to a conversation about, you know, the realities of the other people. I know there was, like, a term for it, but it's like a feeling that you get when you realize that everybody around you has their own lives and experiences. And I know there's, like, a psychological term for, like, that feeling, like, you just get, like, this weight of the world on you. And I saw it somewhere. I can't remember what it's called, but that I get that all the time. Like, sometimes I'll be driving on the parkway, you know, with my girlfriend, like, we'll just be driving, and, like, I'm like, you know, that car that just cut me off, that's a person with a family. You know, that is a person that has lived their life, and they, you know, they probably have a job. I mean, they have a car, you know, they're probably dealing with their whole, they're dealing with their own shit. And that's what I think has made me such a positive person, is because I know everybody is dealing with bullshit. Everybody has their own shit to deal with.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's just, I don't remember what the term is, but it's just like, I think about that a lot. I think that everybody has their struggles, and there's no reason for me to project any negativity out there, you know?
Yeah.
Because what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say, I gotta look that up, because it's like, sometimes with work, like, you know, working with the old timers and all that, mm-hmm. going to their houses and spraying the bugs, and like,
so they've had a long life, you know, where they have all these memories and stuff.
Sometimes I look at them and I'm just like, man, you saw some shit. And, like, you know, it, mm-hmm. when they seem like a little down and out of it, I'm just like, man, like, I wonder what, like, what's going through their head? What have they experienced? I'm like, I'm looking at a time capsule right now. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And it's just, it's such an interesting experience, like an interesting, like, thought experiment for yourself. You know, it's just like, I'm going to use, like, people, you know, that we both know, like Emily, you know, I don't know. I mean, I was very young when her and Ryan got together and started dating, and it's just, you know, I mean, now they're married after, like, forever, you know. It's like, and it's just like, I don't know what their lives were like before I was in it. And there's so many memories that I know that they have, but I'll never understand. And it's like, they had their own lives and their own realities, that, like, their own struggles. And it's just so interesting to me. And that's, and I think about that every time before I, like, you know, say something about someone else. Like, I'm just like, they have so much shit going on. Like, I, you know, I've been at odds with people. I mean, like, I'm not a perfect person, you know. It's just, I've been in the wrong for a lot of things, and it's, you know, and, but, like, I've always tried to, I mean, at least more recently, I've tried to be as positive a person as possible. I mean, like, you know, I think, like, I've gotten over a lot of those negative people in my life.
Yeah.
That have dragged me down, and, you know, keeping that mentality of, like, all right, but even then, like, I don't hate any of them, you know. Like, I don't hate people that are in my past, because I know that one day they'll realize, you know, fucked up, you know. And it's just, You know, and I know that someday, and but that's not my place to make them go through that journey. You know, it's a path of self-acceptance. It's a path of self-worth and self-realization where it's like, all right, maybe I was the asshole and I'm going to fix myself, you know, maybe not fix yourself, but maybe like, you know, strive to be a better version of yourself, you know?
Man, you're 17 going on 42. Jesus Christ.
I've lived a life, man. I've seen some shit, man.
It's good to hear though. Cause it's like, it's, you know, a lot of that shit's like things that like myself and so many people like, you know, usually find like in, you know, your 20s and all that, where it's like starting to just be like, you know, like kind of let shit go and, you know, just gotta do me. And, you know, everyone's got their shit going on. Like, especially now too, it's with that transition kind of like after COVID and the world just completely like shifting. It's one of those things where it's just like, what the fuck, man? Like, what is going on? So yeah. It's like knowing that you're hit at that point at like 17 and everything. It's like, fuck, man. Like you're on a good path mentally. You know, it's and like dealing with, you know, depression, all shit like that. Yeah, it sucks and never goes away. But like having those thought processes and stuff, it's like you're going at the deeper understanding of everything and not only with yourself, but with how others react to stuff. And it's good fucking knowledge to have, dude. Like it's great.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Oh yeah.
I'm like scavenging for a phone charger because I'm at 3%.
Oh shit.
Yeah. I don't die on you.
Oh man. Don't say that. We just talked about all this deep shit.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just fucking around.
I don't want to fade away into the Zoom nothingness, but
and at that moment he reached rock star status, dropped the album. You know. God.
Yeah.
So to revert back to the album. Is there, while you're looking for the phone charger, is there a release date in mind or with it being at the, you know, production right now, kind of just letting him do his thing?
We actually have it announced on our social medias. It is coming out May 2nd.
May 2nd? Oh, fuck. Right around there. Oh, yeah. You posted that you were looking about that and everything, and that's why I hit you up for this. See? The geriatric's losing his mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep messing with you with that, but it's all in good fun, dude.
But it's actually our drummer's birthday. It is his 21st birthday. So.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were like trying to think of a release date and my bassist actually brought it up. He was like, why don't we do it on Cody's birthday? You know, and I was like, that sounds awesome. And, you know, that's kind of just what we went with. So.
Oh, yeah. And when it comes out, I know you said doing the DIY physicals and all that, but gonna be on all.
It's gonna be on everything.
Hell yeah!
You know, going the whole DistroKid classic. You know,
very nice
with all that. So very excited for it. I think. I mean, we are all very passionate about this, and you know, it's definitely been a struggle to find people that are wanting to put the work in. Like, I feel like I've been looking for. And yeah. I feel like I finally found that groove of people. I mean, you know, it's just like I talk about, you know, I love those guys, Jaden, Cody, Mason, like the best people I've ever met, you know?
Yeah.
And some of the most talented dudes I've ever met in my life. So it's very cool being able to share a stage with them and share like experiences like this with them. So.
Yeah, I forget. I met two of them at the Oasis show, like when you guys played the last show.
Yeah,
I met. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what two I met because I was a little partaking in the legalized marijuana of New Jersey. I say that every time just to remind people that it is legal and I'm allowed to do it.
You're gonna make it everybody's problem.
I forget who it was though, but like the personal is all hell, and I'm just like, no, I'm like, this is, you know, how you do it. They're friendly as shit. And everything. They're
it was probably Cody and Jaden because they because I had to leave early because I had a Lyme episode.
Yeah.
And I was like overheating and just wasn't having the best time, but they stuck around and it was probably those two. Were they both taller glasses.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. That's Cody and Jaden.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Cause I remember they were talking about, like, I'm so bad with like names and stuff, but like faces I'm better with. But, yeah, cause I remember talking to them and I was like, oh shit. I'm like, this is exactly how you should be playing shows, going, just talking to people, meeting others and all that. I'm like, it's networking. It's perfect. I'm like, ah, oh, these are some cool ass dudes. I'm like, hell yeah. So, I mean, it's awesome. So it's right around the corner. Dropping the first release. I'm excited to listen to it, especially knowing the subject matter too. It's, you know,
it's very deeply personal.
Yeah.
To a lot of people.
Very so, cool.
I finally found a phone charger after this whole time.
So. Hell yeah. All right. So you're not going to fade out.
Hopefully not. Hopefully I can do a quick procedure. I mean, my quality is probably going to drop because I have to take my earbuds out.
All right. It's no problem.
Right, can you hear me?
Perfect.
All right, all right. Can you talk real quick?
Hello. How's it going?
All right. Awesome. Awesome.
Cool. Well, now that you did all that work, bud. Sorry, but is there anything else you want to talk about before we start to wrap things up?
No, I mean, I feel like I touched on a lot of the things that, you know, I feel like are very important to me about this project, you know. And this phone charger's not working.
Oh shit.
But I mean, I guess that worked out if we're wrapping things up. So
oh yeah. We'll speedball this ending then. And as I said, love to, you know, have other members of the band on and stuff too. Cause with bands, anyone listening, if you're in a band, if I say, all right, which one do you want to be on? Don't take offense. You know, I am down to have anyone on, and later down the road, have the other members on and learn their stories and see their piece of the puzzle band. So this is just Braden's episode. Hopefully get the other guys on, you know, they could talk about their experiences, you know, the two nice gentlemen I met at the show who I spoke so highly of and forgot their names when I met them. But oh yeah, man. Well, with that all being said, it's time we wind things down and we go on a little ego trip. And I'm going to take my phone. I'm going to jot down your social medias and you plug away. Anyone listening, get your phones, plug these in, follow, or you could click the links in the description and yeah, just plug away.
All right. So my personal Instagram is Braden_is_comatose. And from there, I mean, you can find the band account, but that is Coma Courtesy, all one word. For the handle, we are, based out in New Jersey. I mean, kind of assumed, you know, cause you're very open about being from New Jersey. So, but yeah, so, you know, a lot of my bandmates are also linked on the band page. If you want to go give them a follow, by hopefully May 2nd. I mean, that's the release date we set. I mean, hopefully we can get everything squared away. I mean, we're going to release our debut EP, Exposure Therapy. That's gonna be out on everything. Again, our Instagram is Coma Courtesy, and you can find all of us through there. I really appreciate, you know, you having me on and just all that. You know, it's been a pleasure.
Of course, so, man. That was great having you on. And do you have a Bandcamp or anything, or is it just the like the Instagram and Facebook page?
It's just for right now the Instagram and Facebook page. The Facebook page is also Coma Courtesy as well. But once we start releasing stuff, we're going to definitely do some things on Bandcamp, you know, have some merchandise in there. We got some shirts that we could definitely put up there and ship out to people if they're interested. Got some stickers and some more stuff in the works. I mean, we're in writing, you know, we're playing, a bunch of shows, 3 in May, May 10th in Nyack, New York. And then the 23rd in Teaneck, New Jersey, the 24th in Montclair, New Jersey. And then we got a couple other ones coming up after that. So I'm really excited. Hopefully, I mean, you know, I'm pretty approachable at shows. So if anybody listening wants to come, you know, talk about any of this stuff, you know, a one-on-one, you know, I'm always down. Again, I really appreciate the opportunity to come on here. It's been awesome.
Anytime, bud. It's no problem at all. Always wanted to have you on since I met you. And now it's like perfect time with the EP coming out and everything. But And anyone listening, I'm Nicholas Christian. You can find me at cult_sure_ on Instagram and Facebook, at terror_tunes, TOONS on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. TerrorTunes.bandcamp.com has all my music, has merch of all sorts, has paintings of mine, 3D printed toys, a bunch of hoopla. It's got culture merch on there. And TerrorTunes is also streaming anywhere you're listening to this podcast. But oh yeah, Brandon, well, can't wait to listen to the new album. And dude, thank you so much for coming on and shooting the shit. It was awesome getting to know you a little better.
Yeah, anytime.
Oh yeah, man. You have a good night and take it easy.
Yep, you too.
Thanks.
Like yourself on this week's episode of the Cult Sure Podcast is a common courtesy of the snippet of their new song, Asylum.